Well, actually, I'm glad I was able to get a hold of you. I wanted to ask you some questions about kind of your involvement with youth football, and I noticed the article about you and some of your coworkers about, you know, working with a youth football team. Just a really outstanding story, and I'd love to talk to you a little bit about it and see if we can't run a similar story about you guys on our website, youth1.com, if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
All right, excellent. So, first and foremost, what is your kind of football background? Did you play when you were younger? Were you a coach, or were you just kind of a fan of the game?
Well, I played 1 year in high school, my junior high year in ninth grade, and that was it. I was a baseball guy essentially, so my focus was on that. But I did play for 1 year in high school.
Mm. Okay, and
I've been an avid sports football fan pretty much my whole life. So I've been a follower of football and, you know, follower of the game of football, and I feel like I have a pretty decent understanding of it, of the game. I just hadn't actually played beyond that 1 year.
Okay, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm kind of in the same boat, real, you know, student of the game, followed the history of it and the current, just not much of a player myself. Couldn't do, so just followed.
Sure.
But I don't think you have that much of a problem.
All
right. So what kind of, you know, inspired you to get started with, you know, coaching the youth football team?
Well, I have a 5-year-old son, and the youth football team in Havelock is Pop Warner, and they have a different age bracket. The one that he's eligible for is 5 to 7 years old. And I've coached his peewee team both years in the past, and my dad was active in my sports life as far as coaching goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of probably where I got it from, but you know, I played baseball in college, and I was a player coach my senior year of college, so that's kind of where my coaching debut was, or my coaching, you know, career, it's not a career, but my coaching began my senior year of college for the baseball team there, and that it went on to my son now. He was in his 4 and 5 year old year at T-ball. I helped coach that team as well. And then, you know, I have a hard time sitting by and watching my son, you know, play any sport and not wanting to be involved with him. Not to mention, I enjoy working with the kids. I love working with the young kids, you know, just to help them out, teaching the basics, and a lot of it's teaching them more. It's above and beyond football. You know, it's how, you know, it's a role model. Essentially, it's a role model thing, because the things that they learn, in my opinion, the things that they learn in youth football and youth sports are things that are going to follow them for the rest of their lives. Because I can remember all the coaches I had ever since I could, you know, remember started playing when I was 4 or 5 years old in all different sports. And I remember the impact, and I know the impact that those coaches had on me. So I kind of, you know, I feel like I have a grasp on that, and I want to portray that and impress that onto the kids, you know, the right way to go about things, and try to teach them a little bit more about being, you know, growing up, being a person than just about football.
Right,
so
right,
of,
okay.
A lot of it stems from that. I just, you know, I love working with the kids. I love teaching them, and I like, you know, to feel like the staff and myself are teaching them the right way, you know, how to be productive. Not, they're 5 to 7 years old, I get it, but, you know, to try to develop a baseline for, you know, the person they're going to be, rather than just a little bit about football.
Right, right. And instead of, you know, trying, obviously when they're that old, you know, that's certainly an impressionable age when, you know, people say, oh, that's too young. Well, no, that's when they're kind of developing a lot of, you know, what they think is, you know, appropriate or not appropriate. And, you know, I definitely agree with you there. Would you say that that's kind of, you know, with the coaching staff in general, like the emphasis is just kind of directing these young men in a good direction early on, just kind of through football?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think all of us on that staff, I think we had a really good staff. This was my first year with football, but I feel like from the head coach on down, we had a great staff, and they all understood that. They all realized it wasn't just about, you know, 5 to 7 year olds playing football. It's about developing life skills and, like, teaching them things and developing in them things that will benefit them in the future, like discipline. You know, discipline, respect for themselves, respect for each other, working together as a team, teamwork, all those things. And you know, for example, you know, when it's small things that they wouldn't know that what it means to them. But it's like, for example, like we're running, we you know, when we had send them running, right? and they want to cut corners. Well, we don't let them cut corners. If they want to go to the inside of the telephone pole, we want them to go around. They're going to have to stop, go back, and go around the pole. So it's, you know, just to them, that's just us, you know, making them get in trouble for going inside the pole. But in reality, it's really teaching them, you know, doing what the, you know, what they were directed to do, doing it the right way the first time. And not to mention, you know, whenever they get done, you know, they want to walk the last 15 or 20 yards, we make them turn around and run it again, because some people may see that as just, you know, they, we want them to run to the end, but in reality, it's teaching them subconsciously that they need to finish what they start. You know, once you start something, you finish it, and you finish it hard, and then you do it the right way when you do it. So you don't cut corners. You know, someday you just see it, you know, yelling at the kids as they're running, do what we told them, but in reality, it's really ingraining, in my opinion, it's ingraining upon them things that they'll take on to, they'll take that and they'll use that later in life. Like, they won't cut the corners and they'll always finish what they started and they'll finish strong and all. And that's the kind of things we want to impress upon them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And
except, it, I don't know if that makes sense to you.
No, it makes complete sense. I was in marching band, me personally, but I did that when I was younger, and they kind of do that same thing, obviously, when we're at an older age, you know, when we're in high school. But, you know, that discipline, the finishing out what you start, you know, bolstering the work ethic. And it's in ways, sometimes just saying, okay, you need to finish what you start, or you need to work harder, you need to, you know, do things the right way, just saying that doesn't necessarily work. But when you kind of work through it in an actual process, it kind of gets buried in a little deeper, and then you realize, wow, I'm on time for everything, because, you know, this is how it was for, you know, this is how I was supposed to be. Now I'm almost trained that way. I'm imagine you kind of feel that same way with certain things.
Right, and as they're, you know, for example, to use the running example again, if they stop running, we don't let them stop, you know. We don't, there's no quitting. There's no, you know, there wasn't any crying, there was no quitting. It was, once you start it, you finish it, and you do it right way, and you finish it hard, you know. Which led onto the field, you know, if you want to be lazy and stop, you're going to have to go run, you know, to the pole and back. So it teaches them a little bit of discipline that way, too. So that
Do you worry that it'd be close? Because I'm personally, if you want my personal opinion about it, I agree with you. I feel like that's definitely the way to go, because, you know, it all starts and ends with discipline, especially from, you know, the lower ends to all of a sudden, you know, these NFL players who just don't have the discipline that's been instilled in them their entire lives. Or that work ethic. I mean, do you feel that some people would perceive that as, you know, being hard-edged or being too mean or too rough? Or is it just, you know,
I think in general, you may get a group in society, you know, you part of society. You may get a group of people that feel like that, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that people that sign their kids up for this specific sport, football, are signing them up knowing that, they're going to be, the kids are going to get, you know, they're going to get yelled at. They're going to get told to run here and there. They're going to learn the discipline. They're going to learn the teamwork, because that's really what football is about. So I think that, in a sense, is why parents choose football versus some of the other sports. Because it's not like, you know, I said I coach football and T-ball. T-ball isn't like football. Football is different. So, football is about discipline, teamwork, listening, you know, working hard, giving 100% at all times. And I think the parents that bring the kids here, take this on board, because you have the parents coming up after you in practice, especially the ones, and this was a little bit surprising to me being my first year, but especially the ones that, you know, had to run a little bit extra for, you know, not listening or whatever, they're like, thank you, they needed that, I appreciate what you're doing in that regard. So I think they sign the kids up for this, for football, specifically for that reason, at least some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
It's not all about just the discipline. That was just an example I gave. A lot of,
right.
You know, we teach these guys, you know, like work, like the teamwork aspect of it, right? There's, you know, and we have them divided up, you know, into linemen, and they work together. The running backs, the quarterbacks, they work together. So they get a sense of pride amongst, you know, their little individual groups. And then, you know, they take that out on the football field. So they're working together as a group of five, trying, you know, to get to a common goal, vice an individual going out and doing his own thing. Because if they start to do their own thing, stray a little bit, you know, we bring them back into the mold. So that's really what it's about, is teamwork. And whenever they do, you know, they do things right and they do things well, they get praised, you know, which they deserve too, you know, and they need that too. So they get praised a lot, especially when they're listening, doing the right things, et cetera, et cetera. So it really is about, it's just teaching them the difference between right and wrong, praising them whenever they do the right, and then teaching them why they shouldn't do things when they do them wrong.
Right.
It's not just about, hey, go run to the pool and back. It's, hey, here, this is what you did. You're like, this is why we don't do it. For example, you know, you push the kid, you tackle the kid, and then before you get up, you know, you put your hand in his face mask or whatever. We teach him, that's not how you respect other players. That's not how we treat people. Here's why that's not good. And that's part of it, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that early discipline kind of goes a long way towards, kind of driving that point home. One of the things that I've been seeing lately, or that's kind of come up in youth football, there's an organization called Junior Rank, who does, they call them their Diamond Flight Camps. And they actually work with the United States Marine Corps, and they have Junior Rank.
Okay.
Yeah, and they actually work with the Marines, and they have Marines come out to the camp, and they actually go through dynamic warm-up, where the drill sergeant is out there, you know, yelling at them, and they're doing, you know, up and down, and they've got sergeants going up and down, talking to kids, and the Marines are there throughout the weekend because it's kind of a two-day thing. And I was actually at one in person, and I got tired just watching them. And these are kids, you know, all the way from sixth grade to seniors in high school, kind of doing this stuff. So, I mean, do you think that there's a correlation between the discipline and the kind of the team aspect and the discipline in the Marine Corps that translates well not only to youth football but football in general?
I would say that's definitely the case, because take a look, you know, at the, are you a Marine yourself, or have you been in the military?
I'm sorry?
Have you been to any sort of boot camp or anything like that?
No, not me personally. I mean, the closest I did was military, to anything related to military was marching band. And I thought about going to A&M, which means, you know, Texas A&M, which would have stuck me in the band, like the Corps, I guess, if I stayed in the band. Thought about it. Never did it. I never considered myself a military guy. I couldn't. I could be honest with myself. I couldn't do it. And I have extreme respect for people that could. But yeah, the closest I've ever had is high school marching band, and I was like, nope, that's about as it's about as beat up as I can get. I'm a little soft.
Okay, well, that's cool. You know, that's fine too. But to answer your question, if you take a look at the training regiment and what Marines do when they go through training, whether it be boot camp or, you know, officer candidate school or whatever, is, and you work together in, a group of, let's say, 40 or 50 or a group of 20 or 30 or whatever, and that's your platoon, right? And so if you could equate that to your football team, your platoon, right? And in the platoon, you go out every morning and you PT together. We stretch together. The stretching is the same as it is, you know, in football. Youth football, you have a couple guys up front. You have the platoon leaders, or you have the team captains in football. They're out there. They're calling quote unquote cadence, and we do that in football. You know, we count, and if the kids aren't keeping up with the quote unquote cadence when they're counting, then you know they're yelled at and they're told to be louder and, you know, be part of the team. So that's, in a sense, that's an exact parallel, because we do, like you said, we do the dynamic stretching in football. We do the dynamic stretching, you know, in the training, going through the training we go through, whether it be boot camp or whatever. So that is an exact parallel. As far as and you know, you're expected to do exactly what you're told, which is the same you're supposed to. Yeah, I would say there's a parallel. There is an exact parallel. You're supposed to do what you're told. You know, you need to listen to orders or listen to whatever team coaches or your captains are telling you. You'd be loud and sound off just like you would in boot camp. If you're not putting out, it's going to be noticed, and you're going to have, you know, extra attention just like you would in boot camp. It's almost an exact parallel. And then, not to mention, you know, you platoon, you go out and you accomplish tasks as a team, right? You break it down in the Marine level to a fire team of four or five. And just like I said a few minutes ago, in football, you break it down into a team of four or five. Four offensive linemen, four or five offensive linemen, four or five defensive linemen. So essentially, you've divided yourself up into teams as well, and you're all working together to accomplish a goal. Let's say, in the Marine Corps, say, for PT, it's take this log, put it, you know, carry it, find a way to get across the river, and, you know, go through all these obstacles. In football, it's you find a way to make a gap for your teammates so you can run through it and get to the end zone. So ultimately, in both aspects or both organizations, you're working together to accomplish a team goal overall. it just isn't the same goal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost an exact parallel as far as the discipline, what you're expected, what's going to happen if you don't follow what you're supposed to do, and, you know, the small unit aspect of it, working together as a bigger unit to accomplish a common goal.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. All right. In the story, you guys were talking about how, you know, this isn't, you know, for any personal gain. This is you guys taking time out of your schedule, you know, your own personal time, things like that, to work with these young players. Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, is it something? Obviously, you have a son that you coach and things like that. And I know one of the coaches on the team doesn't even have a kid on the team. He just kind of does it, you know, on his own as well. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about that. Why you guys, you know, decided to take out your own personal time? Do you value that time? Do you think it's definitely worth, you know, sacrificing that time just to help out a young team?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Like I said, this is probably one of the most rewarding seasons of sports that I've ever spent. That includes, you know, I've played youth sports ever since I was 5 years old. And this, you know, coaching these kids, and they're only 5 to 7, and I've coached T-ball as well. Like the football season this season, like I said, with the group of coaches we had and the group of kids we had, it was probably the most rewarding season I've had yet. If I had to do it over again, even if I didn't have a kid, I would absolutely, like, having the experience I had, I would absolutely do it over again. I loved going to practice every day and feeling like, you know, we try and make a positive impact in the kids' lives, and I think the other coaches would agree with that. Because, like you said, there was one coach there. There's actually two. One of them wasn't in the story, but there was two coaches there that are Marines here at Cherry Point that didn't have any, don't even have kids at all, but volunteered their time to help out. And you know, I commend those guys more than anybody because I, you know, my main driving reason for initially getting involved with this specific team was because my son was on it, and, you know, I want to take an active part in his life. So I want to do things like, you know, help coach football, it's my way to spend time with him, you know, and help him become, you know, a better, you know, young man himself, and teach him the positive aspect, or have a positive impact, rather, on him as well. But if I had to do it again, I would absolutely do it, even if I didn't have any kids going through, because the kids, the way that you can see from start to finish, from day one, where you get a group of brand new kids who aren't really doing, you know, who aren't really working together, who aren't listening, they're all going doing their own thing, to day X at the very end, whenever you're done with the last game, and, you know, you get to your last practice, and the boys are just clicking. They are just, you know, they're running at full throttle, doing everything exactly what, you know, they were, you know, taught to do. They know to do right. The difference between start to finish is really, it was surprising. And it's only because of the guys, like, you know, the coaches that take the time to work with them on an individual level and, you know, treat the kids with respect, teach them, you know, the difference between right and wrong, and then make them, you know, want to play football for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get that combination in the coaches, you know, coaches that can instill that in the kids, you really will see positive outcomes. And for example, like, we took the kids from the first two games where we got clobbered to the last couple games where we're doing the clobbering, you know, it's really a big difference. And the difference is that, you know, they weren't working together, they weren't listening to the other kids, like the snap count, for example. They were jumping off sides, just undisciplined, to the point where now, you know, we can go on two or on three, like just on the first hike. You know, they're running out, and instead of just running out and forgetting where they're going because they're not paying attention, they're looking for the blocks they need to make. They know exactly the holes that they're supposed to hit. They know their assignments on each play, and it's because they're listening and that, you know, they've been taught, and, you know, they want to learn. And so that's an environment that I think the coaches need to foster, is an environment you want to learn. And if you don't foster an environment where you want to learn, the kids don't care, and they'll get, you know, they'll get lazy, and then you won't do very well. But as you can see, like, with the group of guys that we have, which I thought was a great group, you know, there were, from start to finish, there was just dramatic improvements. So we're at the point at the end, you know, this is another thing we try to teach kids, and I try to instill in them myself personally, is that there's 7-year-olds who are in charge, essentially the team captains, a little bit of leadership and responsibility, which if you're a 7-year-old, you don't have a lot of, you know, leadership and responsibility. But by the end, you know, halfway through the season, we started the turnover process. By the end, they were, you know, here, you take the kids out, you're running them through warm-ups, start to finish. We don't have, you know, the coaches don't have to blow a single whistle. But, you know, the 5-7-year-olds we had in charge of the team were doing everything from running warm-ups, like the stretching parts, the dynamic warm-ups, to hey, and then it turned into, hey, listen, if you're the captain of this team, you're in charge. If he screws up, you're running with him, to the point where they took their responsibility on board, and then they started being the leaders of the team. So you are going to find a lot of opportunities for a 7-year-old to be a leader among his peers. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's really incredible. That's the fact that you've got some of the older guys, even, you know, in older meaning, you know, 7th grade or 7-year-old.
7th grade, yeah.
Seven-year-old.
2nd grade.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, leading their team, essentially, and things like that. That's outstanding. Do you think that the way that you guys kind of go through your coaching and how you how you guys take care of the team, do you think that kind of stuff can extend with other coaches, or is it more the unique kind of training that you guys got that you can extend to these young players? Because it sounds more like you guys have had that training yourselves. You guys have gone through the whole thing. So you kind of are better teachers in imparting that, as opposed to someone who's, like me per se, who worked in an office for a while and doesn't necessarily know the proper discipline and things like that. I mean, do you think it's something that can extend? Is it a good model for a coaching staff?
I think that what would make Marines and the military a good coach, for example, is because we've had good role models. So, for example, you know, we go through, like, the training or the boot camp or whatever. We're given, like, the Marines that are put in charge of us put us through that training. Those instructors, they're picked because they're good role models. So, we can take what we learn from them, like, their good aspects, like, apply it in our lives, and then put it, like, take those aspects and instill them onto the kids. And that, so it's the fact that we had good role models, it helps us, I think, have an upper hand to be good role models for the young kids that we're teaching. So, because we've got a good example in our lives that we can use. So if you're going out for the first time, there's a lot of learning involved. You know, how do I, here's a good thing. What coaches, you know, it's essentially about leadership, about, you know, treating the kids with respect, and that's the way you're going to get the respect back. And leadership, you know, in the Marine Corps, for example, a small unit leadership is what we're all about. So, and the guys that you had going out there were the guys who are willing to be leaders. So they're probably also guys who are excelling it in their workforce, you know, within the Marine ranks as well. So you got your good sergeants and your staff sergeants or whatever. They're the ones that are interested, you know, taking an interest in the kids. They're automatically going to be good role models just because of the way that they were brought up in the Marine Corps, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Marines are given good, like, we're given good role models to look up to. So that allows, I think, the guys, the coaches, especially the ones without kids, to be good role models for the guys underneath them, because they've got an experience, and they know the difference between, like, good role model and a bad role model, because they've seen a bunch of different ones. So they know what traits that can get kids to really pay attention and teach them the traits that they need to teach them.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Are you going to go back next year? Are you going to do some more coaching, or is it a one and done for you?
Oh, no, there's no doubt I'll be going back. And as a matter of fact, like, the head coach here coaches youth, like, baseball somewhere in, like, 13 to 15-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already jumped on board with him. Him and I are going to coach a team this spring. I'm going to jump on there with him and help him out. So I'm already, like, signed up for a new sport here just in a couple months. So I'm already looking forward to that. And then most definitely football next fall. I really enjoyed doing that. The kids were, and it was really about the kids. The kids were awesome. If you have good kids who have good attitudes and you know, and good parents, then it's the kids are awesome. So it's honestly our honor to be able to go there. And the parents let us have 2 hours a night for 3 nights a week, and then 2 hours on Saturday to work with their kids, you know, and teach them what we think is the difference between right and wrong. Just to be allowed, you know, somebody to give their kid to you for a couple hours is really should mean something just for them to, you know, give you that opportunity.
Yeah, excellent stuff, Captain. I appreciate the time you've given me and given me the opportunity to kind of write this article here for you. We'll probably have something up here in the next, within the week. getting going here for you. Like I said, again, thank you for your time. Thank you for everything that you're doing for that team, because I definitely agree. It sounds like you guys have a lot of great stuff going on out there. And you have a great rest of your day, and good luck with the rest with next season, okay?
Yeah, appreciate it. And Link, where can I find the article? Youth1.com?
Youth1.com, yep. And if it's not on the front page, because I'm going to definitely make sure it is, but if it isn't, it's going to be under our football tab. And we cover, you know, mostly our youth range is about 6th to 6th grade, 8th grade. But, you know,
yeah,
a story like this is just outstanding. So, you know, definitely keep it updated. I'll send, what was her name? I think it was Jessica.
Okay.
I think it was the contact with DVD.
Yeah,
I have it there. Yeah. That I'm going to be able to, I'll link her with that information as well, so she can get that out to you, okay?
Great.
All right, well, thanks, Captain. Hey, you have a great rest of your afternoon, okay?
Yeah, sounds great. And if there's anything that comes up, you know, you have a question or what, like something, you know, specific or whatever that comes up you need answer to, you have my point of contact information, I think.